When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi everyone, it's Cammy here. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Heart and Hand. If you happen to listen to the shows on the Apple, Android or Spotify platforms, could you please give Heart and Hand a follow on there? They may also ask you to write a wee review, and if you could write us a really good one, we would massively appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. This is your extra show for the week. My name is Cameron Bell. I'm your host as always on Extra. And it's a special week for me because I get to welcome back a long-term guest to the Extra show. And that is my very good friend, Mr. Alan Bradley. Alan, thank you very much for coming along. How are you feeling after last night's exit of the Europa League to Benfica?
I'm okay, and I suppose really it's thanks again for coming, you know, allowing me to come on, Cammy. The only thing is, before we get into the detail and so on, just a wee reminder that Kyle Lafferty is not available now for the rest of this season, mate, so put that to one side and we'll talk obviously about the European game and moving forward, yeah?
Let me explain something to you, Mr. Bradley, right, and I'm going to put this as simply as I can. If Kyle Lafferty was available and he could come back into us and wasn't getting an absolutely fantastic feat at the club that he's at the moment, we would have the league sewn up, right? It wouldn't even be in quite... In fact, bookies would already have started paying out. It's that simple. But listen, we can look back at the glory days of the Ulster Gazelle and another show. Let's talk a little bit about last night's 1-0 defeat at Ibrox against Benfica, Alan.
Yeah.
In the build-up to the game, I suppose it was really looking at... The best way I can put it is, it was a one-game shootout, right? Obviously, the way how the tie was poised, I thought we did very well across in Lisbon the week prior.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing for me, more than anything else, was it gave us a really good opportunity to progress. And I think, and I want to talk to you specifically about this in a wee bit more detail soon. That's one of the reasons why I asked you in the show. It establishes us as a club with European pedigree.
Yes.
So for me, getting into the game last night, I know there was all these kind of different conversations that were happening about who was going to play, who was fit, who wasn't. If we were to get put out, which ultimately happened, then it gives us that chance to focus on our domestic campaigns, plural. I think I was just pleased about us being able to go out last night, Alan, and put on what I thought was a pretty decent performance, given the amount of variables that we have regarding the amount of games that we're playing, player injuries, who was available for selection, even outside of the injuries, all of that kind of stuff.
No, I mean, I would agree with you, Cammy. I mean, you talked about our kind of reputation and so on, and obviously over the past, I don't know, 4 years or whatever, we've really enhanced that one now. So we've done really well in that regard. And again, it would have been obviously really good to go through. I'm very much, at the time, I know people were going, prioritise this, prioritise. I'm very much of that school. Everything that Rangers go for, we need to, you know, throw everything at it and just see how well we can do. To have gone through would have been brilliant. Obviously, again, kind of financially, again, our brand, our reputation, so that when people were looking to sign people, and, you know, so all the kind of benefits from it, like you, I think it was really strange, kind of walking back after the game, Cammy. It was a kind of funny one. It was like a disappointed, because obviously we kind of failed, but proud that it was really close. It could have gone either way. And again, I think this has been for maybe several weeks before, because of the lack of resources, the injuries we've had, some key players, even the Easter Road, you could see people are really beginning to kind of run an empty. So as I say, I thought at the end of it, really proud of what they did. And now it is. It's just a case now to me of just a right deep breath. We were respectable. We did really well during that run now. Deep breath now. Get to Dundee, which we'll talk about. And then just have a bit of a rest. Hopefully recharge batteries. Get some others on and so on, Cammy. So it was a kind of funny one, as I say, because normally you'd be like devastated we're out. But it was more like that's fine, because we're now going and we've got a real good chance, Kim, of walking away with this treble, which again, I think if we could end up with that, Cam, it'd be one of the greatest seasons I think Rangers have had, considering where we were, what, maybe 5 months ago?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and you're absolutely correct. We will talk about Dundee in short order. However, one of the things that is quite interesting, because I was talking to someone about this and it made me think about if you looked at where we were to where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I know that we don't, I think as Rangers fans, right, we are programmed that we just deal with tough situations and crises. And, you know, I don't want to harp back to, you know, 2012 and all of that kind of thing, but just generally, right? And obviously being slightly older than myself, you've seen us through some pretty bad in spells as well when we talk about, you know, that lot winning things and we were a car crash and it was just, you know, the club was a shambles and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we have a tenacity that allows us to be able to try and get through these tough times. So one thing that I don't think we do enough of, if I'm being honest, is probably been able to look back and go, where were we then to where we are now? And you look at the road travelled.
Mm-hmm.
And our European campaign, if you think of it in that regard, is almost exactly like the league. And almost in a microcosm for sure in terms of, you know, comparatively. But what I mean by that is, you know, we're talking about Stephen Davis having to step in as manager to see us through a fairly tough European fixture. Then we talk about, you know, when we were at that stage, it felt like it wasn't going to happen because the campaign had started well and taken a bit of a nosedive and then obviously had a massive resurgence in Seville. But it looks at the fact that we didn't obviously have to play a round prior to this. So we kind of set this game up and we'd been, you know, looking at it, one eye on it to be able to see what would happen. As soon as the draw was made, I think everyone, you know, started to kind of fall back in and getting excited with it.
Mm-hmm.
So similar to yourself, and I'm sure a lot of people listen to us who were watching the game or came out of Ibrox last night, we're probably thinking, yeah, I understand it's good for us in terms of our domestic campaign because we can put a bit of focus on that. But last night, when I was leaving the ground, and I think you saw so many fans staying back after the full-time whistle, there definitely was, I think, a real sense of acknowledgement. And maybe people did take a chance then to reflect on, well, listen, when you consider this campaign across the entire piece, there was probably times we thought we were dead and buried. And so therefore, we can't be disappointed with the fact that we have missed out, obviously, in progressing to the next stage and going to the quarters. But at the same point, there's reasons behind that. No excuses, not get out of jails, there's nothing like that. And I think when you look at both ties, both legs against Benfica, I thought we made a really solid account of ourselves. So there's definitely a story there to be told. Now, I don't think we'll look back in this European campaign in 10 years' time and go, oh, yeah, do you remember that? And blah, 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 have you? And we've definitely got a little bit of a kind of a hangover, a little bit of a kind of legacy effect, I think, from, you know, from Seville.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to reach the final. But I think for me, what's really interesting is everyone now has just kind of more or less said, ah, well, we didn't get through. It's a shame. I don't see a lot of excuses. I don't see a lot of, you know, let's pin it on this or hectic fixture schedules or anything like that. What I see is just the fans just really resonate with the team about, we appreciate how hard this has been. We understand the efforts. You know, thank you for doing what you've done. And listen, it's you've absolutely represented us well across the European scene. And that, for me, I think, has been really good to be able to try and see. There's not been an adverse reaction to it or anything like that.
No, I think there's been a, and you'll know, through the blooming decades, I've seen some real horror stories, and you come up against various teams and you can just tell they're so far ahead of us and so on. You know, just the way they play, skill, quality, tactics and so on. The way that we have now, as I say, and we're talking over, I don't know, is it 4 or 5 years or whatever it would be, but we really can hold our heads high. And I think our reputation across Europe, again, as you say, let's just look even at the last one. Okay, you've got the Real Betis stuff, which was just phenomenal. But even that for the first leg as well, and it, not excuses and so on, but my goodness, we could have ended up coming back, actually having won the first leg. But even last night, I think the way that Benfica set up, and I know everyone does it because it's second leg, that in itself, I think, Cammy, showed a real respect that they've got for, like, Rangers now, whether it's under our manager or kind of previously, that, you know, the runs and so on. But you could tell the game was really strange as well, because it was like, we really don't want to open up too much because we could get punished and vice versa. And I don't know that. I think that as well, during the course of the game, I was looking at it then, and it wasn't like we're playing against people who are so much better than us and we're so, you know, inept compared to them. The quality and so on from individual players. But I just felt as if really, and I think at the end of it as well, Benfica wouldn't have went, well, that was a scoosh and we kind of sat back. You know, they've knocked us out now. But no, I think it can only help in terms of obviously reputation and so on. And I think as well, like you've said, I love that, the fact that we now are so close, I think, our fans, and we now appreciate. Now, this sounds like the old guy, but, you know, at one point with us, it would be, with me as a kid, it would be, it's okay, everyone, they're all Rangers fans, they're all Blue Noses, you would know they've ran themselves into the ground, we didn't win, you know, but we're so close to them. If you look at the kind of makeup of our squad now, but even the way it's performed domestically as well, every one of them, even if we know they haven't maybe got the quality, but I think, as you say, we all appreciate it. You know, there's nobody, they're all, you know, putting themselves in. People are playing when we know at times they've got injuries, but they're prepared to keep going. They're playing in different positions. And I think that's a great thing. And I think it stands as, I think, in good stead as well, because when we're really getting to crunch time now. So, I mean, that sounds terrible because I should be giving it the old Rangers. We've got to win everything. I'm gut, you know, but I don't know. I just took so many more positives out of it, Cammy. And I think with that deep breath and the 2 weeks and so on, God, I'm actually really optimistic because we'll have the attitude, the bond that we've got with the players and so on, the fans, that there's a great team spirit. We'll be getting some other players back and so on. So there you are.
I think that's totally fair. I think it's something which you see and hear the manager talk about. And I know, listen, I'm you know, neither of us were born yesterday, Alan, no, so I know that we've seen and heard managers talk about this kind of thing before. But when Philippe Clement talks about it in terms of that that connection with the fans, trying to make the fans happy, I totally believe it's integral to him. I believe it's one of his core values.
I know with you, it's funny, just jumping in, sorry, but business-wise, and obviously you'll have all that experience as well, but remember, even it was like culture, it's how we do things around here and so on. The whole culture now, as you say, he's come in and it's like an organisation and it's went, this is what we do. Everyone has to be top. You know, they've got to apply themselves. It's all about the team. We've got to do this. We don't get to it. And there's a whole, and sorry, I know culture takes years and years, but this guy within a short period of time, it's just amazing. At the moment, Cammy, I don't want to jinx anything, but as it's within, what, 4 or 5 months, it's just transformational, isn't it? You know, on the park, but also just that whole bond with the club. And I think that's how you see it at the end of it. In previous ones, we'd be, there'd be a lot more, but at the end of the game last night, there was a kind of real recognition as, okay, disappointed. We know what we were up against, but my God, yous have given everything, guys, and that's all we can ask for, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and to kind of, I think, probably amplify that point even further, I think when you are talking about players who have played a lot of football, and I'm talking mm-hmm, about yeah, regular yeah. first-teamers, these guys who are in there, we talk a lot about, you know, that team cohesion and that bond and, you know, the stuff that you've mentioned within that as well, and how to be able to try and solidify the team, because they weren't a team,
yes,
you yeah, know, yeah. last year. They weren't, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. It's that simple. And I think that what you saw last night was players who, first of all, weren't overawed by their That's opponents right. and, yeah. and the value of their opponents and obviously what they've won on a global stage. But just a feeling of, you know, you can go to the well one more time. You can mm-hmm. produce that energy, produce that that drive, whatever you want to call it, because there is that kind of team cohesion. And now within that, because of the bond with the fans, and I know, like, we might be harping on about this, right? But the reason why I talk about it so much is because we need to acknowledge when it's here, because we sure as hell will acknowledge when it's not.
I know.
And that I think is equally important. So I do believe that Philippe Clement, you know, really does want that bond between mm-hmm. the team and the fans to resonate. I think he likes the fact, and I know we've spoken about this actually on other shows, and certainly we have done on our Patreon site as well. But I think he just loves the passion that football brings out in people, and probably in other clubs that he's been at, so like Monaco, Bruges, etc. It's not as dyed in the wool with them. It's not, you know, ingrained in their DNA as it is with us. So yeah. I think he understands it. I think he wanted it. In terms of some of the other clubs he's maybe been at, and that maybe hasn't been so evident, but it's absolutely spilling over the top at Rangers. And that's why I think he gets so motivated by it. I think that's why he kind of comes into it. And last night, you know, I didn't think from the manager in particular there was any real emphasis to go gung-ho. He knew there was a job to be done. But I think he absolutely respects and understands what the players have given to him thus far. I think he totally gets that.
Aye, and I think in tactical as well, we watched that obviously St. Coe's are kind of right behind him, and you could see all the time, it was continually, again, it was a case of kind of backing your shape. And I know at times it's frustrating. It was like, come on, now it's a transition, go. But again, there was hold on a wee minute, guys. You just need to. But at times I felt, even just the way we were playing it about, we didn't create enough chances and so on. But it just seemed a more mature thing, didn't it? I mean, I remember one of my first European games. I don't know, probably early 70s. And I remember even the first time we won the league, you know, and after nine, you know, Celtic's nine in a row and playing in Europe. And then you would suddenly come up against these teams. And within 5 minutes, Cammy, it was like, shit, we're 1-0 down and the whole away goals. There just seems to be, I don't know, a big, big improvement, you know, on that one. And I think he knows as well, by the way, we're ahead of where we think we are. But he ain't daft. I mean, he knows that come the summertime, he knows the limitations that we've got, but he's doing really well at problem solving each time. And I think what gives me kind of hope as well is, come the summer, if he can bring in some more good additions to this one, Cammy, you know, we can only be, you know, just keep improving again. And if this is what we're doing just now, and at the moment we're looking potentially, we're making a real good job of going for this treble. Who knows, you know, and it would be great, wouldn't it, to actually not just have that was one good season and here we go again, you know, but actually just build from that one and actually push on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And coming back to last night and something that you mentioned as well, Alan, that I think it's fair to say, by the way, because you mentioned a little bit there, and again, one of the reasons as to why I wanted to get you on was to talk about not just last night, but, you know, about European campaigns as a whole across the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
But I think last night what you actually saw, and I suppose is a backhanded compliment within some of this, was Benfica didn't come out all guns blazing. They didn't want to be able to try and do that. Now, you know, again, I know we're not here to necessarily applaud opponents, but I think that was pretty good game management by them, because what they wanted to be able to do was probably absorb it a little bit. They weren't looking to be able to try and get the ball moving up the park as quickly as possible. Obviously, we know that we were undone by what you have to say is a fantastic counter-attack.
Yeah.
But it wasn't evident throughout the game. I think that there was parts of it where they were quite happy to let us have possession. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think that the reason as to why that is important to call out is because they've probably done quite a fair bit of research into this, and they've probably seen teams, and big name teams, by the way, mm-hmm. come to Ibrox and try and adopt that approach and it not work for them. So they decided to change it up a little bit. And I think it took a lot of people by surprise because, again, we were finding a lot of the ball. It was difficult because I think, and again, I'm not wanting to start going through player by player and you know, pointing fingers or whatever.
Right,
I think it was a tough shift for Cyril Dessers across both legs.
Yeah.
I think that you saw maybe some of those wee glimpses of quality and then a final ball or a final move just break down ever so narrowly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think Benfica played to that as a result of it. So I suppose that lends itself into the wider question, which is, are we now within that, what we've always said within the last few years is a European brand, that really big, we are a European name. We are now starting to be able to try and impress ourselves to the extent mm-hmm. of being able to get into the latter stages of the European campaigns. That's what we see it now. Obviously, there is a pinch of salt within that of the Champions League. Mm-hmm. We certainly didn't compete within that. There's reasons behind that, of course. But do you feel that teams now understand what we are capable of doing in Europe? I don't think too many of them now think that.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, we're just a wee backwater and we should be able to turn them over.
There's such a body of evidence now. You know, if you were suddenly drawn against them and go, okay, let's even look at Rangers, even over the past so many years, and as you say, look at the teams that have came and look at the results that they've had, how we've done well away from home as well. And I think that's a good point that you made as well about Benfica as well, not coming out, because they know how many teams have came to Ibrox and when. And if Rangers get an early goal at Ibrox, I mean, yesterday, the atmosphere, obviously, because of the way the game was going, but, geez, I mean, teams have came, went 1-0 down at Ibrox, that place starts rocking, it goes up, and you can see world-class players looking about going, what have we let ourselves in for here, you know? So, I think, as I say, just look back, if anybody says, yeah, you're just overdoing it and so on, look at the number of teams that we've played in, either at home or away now. I mean, like, really, really respectable, you know, sort of sides, some real top-notch ones. I think once, if we had gone through last night, which, by the way, we could have, a couple of wee things, but even then, they wouldn't all be wanting, they'll be wanting Rangers. I think, though, the level of the likes of the Liverpools and some of the others, Cammy, I think realistically with what we've got, it would have been kind of one too far. But in terms of, no, I think what we've gained over the past so many seasons as well, and as I say, I think even our supporters too, we're no moaning the same after like 10 minutes because we should be going at them. I think we're a wee bit cuter as well, and we're a bit more experienced, you know, of how these games are played, you know, whereas you go back to days gone by, it'd be Rangers, don't care who it is, it should be all gung-ho, and before you know it, two counter-attacks and things. So, No, as I say, terrible. It just sounds like a fanboy Allen, but no, I just think the progression. And I remember as well, you were saying, okay, going back to 2012, it was terrible when I was going to all these lowly games and so on. I would sit every week and the European football was on. And I remember kind of saying to Margaret as well, we used to play them, we used to do that. And she would say, you'll be back one day. And I'm, oh, I don't know. You know, but we're definitely there. I think Champions League, well, hopefully we'll be in next year. Probably will be a bit too much for us in terms of quality. But my God, in terms of Europa League, absolutely, Cammy, yeah.
In your time, so again, this is something that I really wanted to ask you specifically, Alan, in your time following Rangers, which is has been a while. I won't call it out in terms of putting numbers on it.
But I think it'll be late 50s, anyway, late 50 years, anyway. Yeah.
I'm keen to just get your thoughts on, do you believe that across this period of time that this has probably been one of the most consistent European runs that we've been on? I don't mean runs, obviously, with yeah. each individual camp. I just mean year on year being able to try and do it. Because, like, you know, I remember the thumpings that we would get in the mid-90s when we were in the Champions League.
Oh, God.
Yeah. We obviously... And again, we go back to 2008 as probably the exception, more the rule. Mm-hmm. But now I think that there's just a general feeling, an atmosphere around the fan base that although we're not expecting, and although, you know, we are demanding, right? There's no doubt about getting away from that. But mm-hmm. there's also a part to this as well where we've almost, through that evidence that you've just mentioned, built up this confidence / bravado / awareness that there isn't a team that could come to Ibrox right now and we would overly fear. And I'm really curious to understand, in your time following the club, can you remember such a period where season on season it felt like as if, right, we're going to go and we're going to do something across the European stage and we're going to go as far as we can and we don't have to fear any foe?
Absolutely not. I mean, obviously the 72 stuff and so on, you know, which was just our greatest ever, and then we'd be out for a year and then we kind of get knocked out early on. So we've kind of had that. We had the experienced, obviously, the kind of Juventus, you know, the kind of Greg one, and then obviously we've later on with the Souness stuff and so on. But we've never, even the kind of 92-93 season, which was like so close, but we haven't. I certainly can't remember us having three or four of them. And again, away from home as well, Cammy, this is the thing too. Over the past few years, we've gone to a number of, you know, grounds against some real major teams and we've performed well. You know, whereas, again, consistently in the past with me, we'd be going sometimes and we couldn't even keep the hot potato, couldn't we? You know, we would just keep giving it away and it was like just defending for our lives. So, no, at the moment, as I say, certainly over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or whatever, I think we've done really well. And as I say, I think as a kind of side in terms of the management, the players, obviously some of them have overlapped through. But again, as I say, I think even our supporters too. You know, as I say, we seem to be more patient, you know, and that has got to help, hasn't it, when you're in these, because it is far more, you've really got to use your head, because if you let the emotions take over, really the top-notch ones, they're just going to play through you, you know.
No, they do. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, we've absolutely rampaged every team that's come with us, because there has been times where we've had to either ride our luck or ride out a storm. You know, I remember some of these teams coming up against us, Porto in particular. I remember, you know, we did have probably a little bit of the kind of opening periods of the game where we just had to kind of let them come at us for a little bit and be able to try and absorb it. And listen, again, you know, I think about other games under Gerrard where we went away from home and we looked a little bit rabbit in the headlights, but once we settled into the game we made it our own and stuff, and that's where I think
even with him, Cam, I mean the ones where we'd go down to 10 men or probably 9, but it got to the stage that even if you lost a player, it's as if we all knew the kind of shape and all. You know, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, we're down. You're going, Rangers have just gone back into, I don't know, tactically, you know, and setting up and systems and things. So, and as I say, that seems to have flowed throughout, whether it was kind of Steven Gerrard. I thought we geo tactically and all that. And I think I heard, was it Scott Arfield as well, talking about him in Europe? And he said it was phenomenal, you know, in terms of the, how he's analysed his various teams. And he said he was telling us this is what they're going to do in this situation. He says, and then we go into the game, and that's exactly so. And I think what's happening is, as these managers are doing, obviously Steven Gerrard, with all his experience as well, he's obviously imparted a lot of that, and it's gone through to the players. Van Bronckhorst too, clearly Phil, his experience as well, and that can only be good, can't it? And again, some of the older players have played for a number of years. Again, if they then can assure that, and again, all you've got is you've got this great arena, haven't you? Ibrox under the lights, you know, is it kind of had you in it? It's just, it's Ibrox kind of thing, so... Yeah. Do you know what? But it is, and as I say, it doesn't matter who draws us. Even these top ones, who know, ultimately we've far better players, we'll go against. But I'll bet you anyone, they'll be going shit. You know, it's Ibrox, it's under the lights. Even I think Barcelona. I mean, I know that was a kind of again the kind of whole Walter one as well. But I think even some of them were saying the atmosphere. Some of them, it was like, jeez, what just happened there? You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's why I had a slight chuckle to myself when obviously we get announced that the game was going to be a 5:45 kickoff last night. And, you know, I do get it, right? And you know, why there's a need to do it. And, you know, TV companies, you know, they kind of pretty much dictate the play nowadays. But even you could have played that game at 8 in the morning, Alan, and Ibrox still would have been full.
I mean,
you're still going to have it. And listen, I know I make a bit of a kind of laugh and a joke over it, but fundamentally that's how... support of our fan base is. Do you know what I mean? It's just that simply what's going to happen. So,
I think it's a great Scottish thing as well, isn't it? It doesn't matter anyone who walks in so gallus and look at me and I'm so world class and look at all the reputation. There is that. But certainly for our supporters, well, you bloody think so then. Yeah. And it's great when that overflows into our team as well.
We can bring players down a few notches, I think. Fair to say. In terms of where that's at as well. And I think, listen, the other thing I think, just kind of finishing up on last night as well, is that when you look back at it, and these aren't excuses, I said that before, so I'm not willing to kind of put into that. But if you look at both legs and you just look at the tie holistically, you know, we've conceded a penalty from a law that frankly shouldn't be a law. We've taken, in my opinion, a deserved lead. We've conceded a goal set up by a guy who, for my money, shouldn't have even been in the park because he should have been suspended, having been sent off last week.
Yep.
These things can go for you and they can go against you. Right? I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, woe is me and all that. We don't blame other things. We are not that club, right? However, this is why I also think that there was a solid appreciation last night. I think that, you know, if the players were to understand that, if the players were to listen to this or they were to speak to the fans, I think overwhelmingly what you'd hear is, you know, yep, some things didn't go for us. We understand that. But listen, nowhere near a humiliation, going into your work the next day and having it ripped out you and all the rest of it. And listen, I dare say there'll be some, you know, opposition fans were quite happy about what happened last night just because they can they enjoy seeing Rangers getting beaten. But what I'll tell you right now, Alan, is there've been plenty of those fans who would have liked to see us continue in Europe. If it was going to potentially impact anything that we're going to do domestically, so let's be real with it,
and let's look at the coefficient as well over the past few years and how that has gone up and how the rest of Scottish football has benefited from that as well, Cammy.
Absolutely. Well, as I say, Europe comes to an end, and listen, again, I don't think had you go back to September kind of time, Alan, you probably would have been saying that.
I know.
As I say, we draw it to a close, and I think, as I'm sure you, me, everyone listening to this as well, we'll really pass on our appreciation to the team and the manager for all of their efforts and stuff as well. So, yeah, as I say, sad to go out, but, you know, again, I think we made a solid account of ourselves across the whole campaign. And most games, I know that we had obviously had to recover, but, you know, the Real Betis result across there and stuff as well, so important to get our first win against Spanish opponents in Spain. We've done that. That's another, you know, record broken, box ticked, however you want to be able to removed, whatever. But again, like I say, we are now in that platform, as far as I'm concerned, where we do have an expectation, but that's fine because the club are totally bought into that expectation as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next European run as well, and it will be a run. So we will see what happens next. Part of what could contribute towards that run and how it may look and feel and have a real steer is obviously what we do domestically, Alan. And we head back to Dens Park on Sunday to face a Dundee team, which it has to be said has got the bit between its teeth at the moment. They're currently sitting sixth. They're a point ahead, of Hibs and 4 points ahead of Motherwell. So that's sixth, seventh, eighth. I think the way it's probably going to shape up, it's going to be between those three in terms of who goes top six, bottom six. Now, I've been on record before, Alan, right? I really, really hate the split. I don't like it. I hate the idea of a team that finishes in sixth could have less points than a team that finishes in seventh. But again, like I say, I'm sadly not in charge of the SFA, so I can't change it anytime soon. But I don't think, you know, anyone that I've spoken to is going to turn around and say, well, it's going to be a straightforward game and blah, blah. Because that although we've had, you know, some very good success recently at Dens Park, Motherwell has probably helped us a little bit come back down to earth with a bump, if I'm being honest with you. A huge game before the international break. And I'll use that cliche, Alan, and please forgive me, but they're all huge games now. Every single one of them are huge games. And I don't think, for me, I mean, I try not be, you know, mega cautious or a huge worrier or anything like that as well. I'm not ultra confident, please don't get me wrong. But I think what we really need to be able to try and do is respect a Dundee team that, let's face it, has its own agenda. They don't give two hoots about a title race. What they care about is obviously where they can finish. And they are very far from dead and buried. So it's going to be a very tough game. And I think, you know, we are going to have to respond to the defeat against Motherwell and how we can assert ourselves. Because right now, recording this, I fully expect us to be a point behind. So it's about us being able to get our 2-point lead back again.
I think the Motherwell one, interesting you kind of touched on that one. And by the way, they did well in the first game at Ibrox too, but certainly the last one, it was a kick up the backside. I felt at some point we were going to get it. What did they call a bump in the road or whatever? But I felt even at the time of the Motherwell one, I thought, shit, you know, it has happened, but that's fine. You know, we've had the kick up the backside now. And I think at this point in time, you're right, every single game, either the opposition are desperately fighting to kind of get into the six and then ultimately to no get relegated. So every single game's an absolute, you know, everyone's going for everything. And I think the mentality in these latter stages now, that becomes the big thing. And it's almost like, you know, the tennis player where it's you've got to serve it out, or the kind of golfer, you've got to actually, we're at that stage of the game now. And a lot of it, I think, is more of it is actually the mentality. And I'm just hoping that Rangers, we can keep that. I think our mentality looks pretty decent, to be honest with you. Certainly I was pleased with the whole Easter Road thing, how we coped with that one too. And again, let's just go for basics. We go up there and it's just 3 points. It's always been like that now. In terms of kind of the kind of title run-in, it's just, honestly, Cammy, we'd all love the 5-0 again. We played some great stuff. 1-0 and flip and get out. Do you know what I mean? And just keep doing that one. Because I think in terms of them, I think was it Hibs at home, Ross County away, obviously the Celtic one, but we just do one. We do the Dundee one, and then what we'll do is we'll have that wee breath for 2 weeks and then we just keep doing it. I think, as you say, fair enough, I think Celtic probably get their points before, but at this it's just a case of focus on us, Cammy. And just by, you know, I was going to say by hook or by crook, but just get the 3 points. If we can play wonderful football and all that, smashing, but just get the 3 points and just move on.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. And I mean, again, you could record that segment and then just fire it into probably most of our shows. But the reason being, and again, I do want to, you know, think about what happened against Motherwell. We've got to go on the premise that Celtic We're maybe still in that space, Alan, in terms of the amount of games that we've got left, that we may still have that space where teams could drop points outside of the Old Firm games. And again, and I hope I'm wrong, because I hope we win both of them, but I personally believe that the Old Firm games will just cancel each other out. I think we can beat them at Ibrox without too much like over exuberance. However, I also don't believe that it's going to be in any way easy when we play Celtic at Parkhead. And I think the most important thing for us is, it's that old adage, it's let's just take a game at a time, let's see how we get on. But something that's going to be really key to that, and again relates to what we saw last night, was we now need to be able to rely on other players now, the fringe players who probably haven't had too much game time. John Lundstrom is shattered, right? Yes, he looks like he's towing a caravan. And if we win the league and if we win the treble, I would say to you right now, John Lundstrom is going to be one of the main centerpieces of it. Him, Jack Butland, absolutely, you know, across what we've had to be able to try and do. But, you know, across the piece, we need to be able to try and see where we can give players some additional rest time if it means taking them out of a game, if a game's been done and dusted. If we're quite comfortable where we're at and the result is out of sight, and I mean, you know, we're safe in the security of the 3 points.
Yeah, then change. Yeah.
Make the change over and be able to try and do that.
Because what it's doing is opening up to the risk of kind of hamstrings and so on. I mean, the big boy Sterling as well is a kind of classic example as well, isn't it? You know, I mean, massive, massive blow. You know, the energy the guys put in and some of the players. So, I mean, an ideal world, Cammy, as you say, you go, well, you know me, I'd be like 4-0 up and then you can ease off. No, but you get a couple ahead, don't you? And then you can start kind of switching. But he's done pretty well in terms of rotating the squad. Okay, some of it's more just been a case of that's what I'm left with, you know, what can I move and so on. But as we get other people coming back into the squad, where we can get the opportunity, definitely got to do that one. So,
and I think the other thing that I would say, right, because there was a reaction last night when I think we saw Scott Wright in the starting 11. I know that people are criticising Nico Raskin as well in terms of what he's produced. Obviously, I know he's had injuries and there's context behind all of these things. I don't think a lot of our fans want to see Borna Barisic come back in at any stage as well. But that all being said and done, whether you're talking about these guys being able to come back in or whether or not you're just talking about, you know, the Cyril Dessers, that I think that we've seen the kind of the shadow of Cyril Dessers, especially across these last two European games. I don't know if he was brilliant at Easter Road, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he had a great performance there as well.
No.
But you're going to have to get to the stage now as well where you're going to have to rely on these guys. And I think his supporters, and I'm not doing the battle cry, I can't, you know, I'm in no position whatsoever to do that. But, you know, we've got an understanding now, because I felt Scott Wright played well yesterday, right? I don't think he was the best player in the park, but he was far from the worst. But I think when people, and it's just the feeling that I get when I was talking to people about it last night, was people just don't give him the credit of being able to try and turn in a decent performance because they just believe he's just a non-starter. I think Robbie Matondo is now in that stage. I think that we've seen some other players who have kind of went into it. I think it's important for us now to be able to say, look, you know, we understand that we're at bare bones, probably even past bare bones now. But when these guys get an opportunity, we're just going to have to get right behind them. We just have to. And right now, if you used every league game, because we'll talk about the Scottish Cup, you know, when it comes around. But if you talk about every league game of, let's just get over the line. You said it earlier on. If it's 1-0, chips and hame, brilliant. I'll take that every day of the week for the remaining games.
I mean, even me, geez, I'm almost kind of maturing. I know it's crazy, isn't it? You know, I'm almost going to grow up. But even recently as well, the lineup, we're in a supporters bus and Bush, there it comes, here's the lineup, and you'll automatically just see people going, what's such and such playing for? What are you doing that for? And I know we've always been like that. We're all experts. You know, I know more than, you know, obviously, you know, Philip Clement or, you know, whoever it would be. Obviously, I'm such an expert. But now I've stepped back and went, look, to be honest with you, the manager and the coaches, they're seeing these people you know, kind of every single day, every single hour during training, there's certain things that we don't know about. There's certain systems they're trying to play. Ultimately, who the hang am I to, you know, to go, what the hell is Clement playing this one? What's he playing such and such for? And I don't know whether maybe just because I'm getting older, I'm becoming a wee bit more kind of, I don't know, relaxed about it. But as you say, ultimately, he'll know more than Fleming Alan Bradley will ever know. You know, he's forgot more than I ever knew. So, as you say, the likes of like Scott Wright, he always gets it really tight. I thought last night, by the way, he'd done a lot of really good stuff with the runs and so on, and then it just became a drop a shoulder and shoot. He didn't. You know, the quality thing fell down and so on. But ultimately, if somebody's wearing the Rangers jersey, and okay, they're maybe not, as far as I'm concerned, we've just got to go and get behind them, because this is such an important time as well now. You know, these last, what, 9 league games and the kind of Scottish Cup thingies. So, and I don't think it helps anyone, by the way, you know, if you've got like umpteen thousand absolutely moaning, you know, as the guy is trying his best. I think ultimately I've just got to sit back and say, I think Big Phil actually knows a wee bit more. And do you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And then after it, we can all talk off, you know, ourselves about, geez, oh, what did he do this, that, the other thing with? But nah, as far as I'm concerned, it's up to the manager now, and we just need to try and support and just get through, you know. And the rest of the team, hopefully, because they've got this kind of bond, you know, God, you played from a decent level. There's always people in the team you're like, he's not exactly, but I think if the team can all, you know, and that bond helps, it can just get us over there. And by the way, Scott Wright, he's a stick on for a goal at Hampden in the semi in the final, Cammy, isn't he? So don't worry.
If we could have some sort of water leak or something that happens at Ibrox that then means that we have to play our remaining games at Hampden, I would put Scott Wright in the team before Jack Butland.
But, exactly.
You know, there's probably a reason as to why I'm not a professional football manager. Yeah. Alan, thank you so much for coming on this week. A great chat as always, my friend, a superb guest and Mr. Reliable. Thank you for coming on.
No, I've really enjoyed it, Cammy. And as I say, obviously disappointed, but it's good. It's just take a breath, just go again, Rangers. And I'm really excited, to be honest with you, you know, in terms of now in the end of the season, Cammy. I hope I don't jinx anything, pal.
No, yeah. I know. Out but not down is the way I would describe it.
Yes,
Alan, that's what I'd say as well. Folks, that'll do us for today. Well, for this show this week. However, David will be back on Monday with the flagship as pair. Thank you to Paul Lee and to Mike Lee and Paul Myers in London. Thank you to our show sponsors, Zenith Coins. Please check them out at zenithcoins.com. And if you happen to be at a loose end and you fancy coming along to see myself and David and Martin and Adam and probably a pretty special player by the name of Paul Gascoigne, and you happen to be in London next Thursday, please join us at the Leicester Square Theatre. Jump on to get the last few remaining Leicester Square Theatre tickets. It's going to be a great show. Really looking forward to it. Gazza will be in good form, I'm certain. And we're going to have a good laugh, a good joke, and some real key insights into his time at the club and where we are now. Always keen to be able to try and get that. So, as I say, jump onto the Leicester Square Theatre website to be able to get your tickets. And if you can't wait until then and you want to get more of your Rangers fix, and why on earth wouldn't you, jump on over to our Patreon site, patreon.com/heartandhand, where you can get tons and tons of Rangers content, fresh and pretty much as close to live as we can get it, but also an archive of thousands and thousands of hours worth of shows, including Mr. Bradley's, who has absolutely knocked out the park since becoming a podcasting genius.
Such a smoothie, Cammy, but thanks for those kind words, Phil. Yeah. I mean, Scott Simon, all the 1970s, you name it. Yeah, there's a fair wee bit of there in the archives that people can listen to, Cammy. I think probably about 50 or so shows, you know, between probably from late 50s right through to certainly way into the late 70s. And then obviously the dominant stuff with Martin, you know, and David and Andy, John and myself. So there's loads of great stuff in there as well.
Yeah, listen, absolutely. And we don't have too many podders who went to school with Moses McNeil. So head on over to see that as well. Listen, thanks so much for listening, folks. Let's get 3 points at Dens Park on Sunday, and we will speak to you again on Monday. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.